spots. All of them are in the New Testament. They're not far from one another. But I want you to find a place in Matthew chapter number 28. Matthew chapter 28. I want you to find a place in Mark chapter number 16. Mark 16. And then in the book of Acts chapter number 1. The book of Acts chapter number 1. And we'll read a verse from or two from each one of these passages of Scripture. And then we'll return to these, at least a few of them, throughout the course of the afternoon. Matthew chapter number 28, Mark chapter number 16, and Acts chapter number 1. If you're there and you'd like to stand and stretch your legs, I invite you to do that at this time. You can stand with us and we'll read some passages out of each one of these sections of Scripture. And then we'll pray and then we'll give you what God has given to us for this afternoon. We'll begin in Matthew chapter number 28 and look at verse number 17. The Bible says, "And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Look at Luke chapter number 16 and verse number 15. Bible says, "And he said unto them, Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Now finally in the book of Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Lord, we love you this afternoon. We are thankful for the opportunity that we have to be here in the Lord's house. We're thankful for the good song service that we have enjoyed, the good visitation of God that we felt while these dear folks sang. Lord, I pray now for the preaching hour. God, I ask that you would help to, help me. God, I pray that you would take the things that you put in my heart and in my mind this week, and God, that I'd be able to get them out in a clear fashion, that I might be able to edify and encourage the body of believers that are gathered together tonight. Help your church, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I mentioned last Wednesday night my intentions for tonight's service. I told you that someone, or actually multiple people, had asked me if there was any way that I could speak regarding the issue of leading someone to Christ or leading someone to the Lord. I want to say, I guess, just before I get started, that any time that there's something that you want to know more about, you're welcome to come and ask me. And if it's something that I can answer simply and quickly, I may just give you the answer if I know it. And if not, the Lord may lead me to preach a sermon if it takes more time, like he's done tonight. But if you ever have a question or want to know something or know more about something, feel free to come to me about that. It is exciting to me as your pastor that some of you have expressed an interest in wanting to know how to lead someone to Christ. That is a wonderful thing. I think that is a desire that is holy, that is a desire that is biblically based, and that is a desire that God will bless you if you act upon. So I thought and thought this week about how I would present this and give this message. And I want to make a disclaimer right up front, okay? I wish that I could stand up here and I wish that I could say, if you'll take these three steps and do this, that, and the other, then you'll be able to lead everybody you come in contact to with Christ. I wish I could say that, but the reality is that's not true. Every situation is different. Every individual is different. And the reality is that you have to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And can I give you a piece of advice? And I'll get into more of this in just a minute, but if you can't learn to listen to God in your daily life, it's going to be hard to learn to listen to God when you're trying to witness to somebody and listen for that Holy Spirit's instructions and nudging and to which direction you should go and how you should help them. You got to learn to listen to God now. You need to ask God about things in your life, things that you maybe never thought about asking Christ direction on. You need to talk to Him about it and get in the habit of hearing His voice and responding to His voice. But I began to think about the scripture I would use, and I thought about these three passages of scripture early in the week. We all know the scene of these passages of scripture. In each of these passages, we're on the other side of Calvary. Jesus now has been crucified. He has risen from the dead, and He's appeared to His disciples off and on for 40 days. Now the time has come in which He is going to leave this earth and return back to His Father in heaven. Therefore, He sends for His disciples and tells them He wants to meet with them one more time, and He meets with them privately and publicly. The topic of each of these final meetings is the subject of soul winning. I do not think that it is any coincidence that the very last instructions and the very last message that the Lord gives His disciples is a message on winning souls. In each of the passages of Scripture that we read tonight, Jesus is telling these men that it is time for them to step out on their own and preach the gospel to the entire world. Tonight, I feel like it would be best if we considered these passages and draw several thoughts out of them. In these three passages of Scripture, I think we'll find some things that'll help us to develop the message that God has given us for tonight. I want to preach on this thought this afternoon, winning someone to Christ. Winning someone to Christ. I want you to notice, I think there's five of them. I want you to notice this, number one. I want you to see the proclamation. I want you to see the proclamation. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, the Lord says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Before we finish, I intend to show you five things out of our text, but the very first thing that I want to show you is the most important thing that I could show you this afternoon, and it is the commandment that Jesus Christ has given to each one of us, the responsibility to go out and win someone to Jesus Christ. I want you to notice that in each one of these texts, there is no room given for question. I thought about this. I prepared this message. And then we went to church last night, and Brother Dean talked about a little bit of this at the end of his message, and it encouraged me. But I find no room for questioning the commandment of our Lord in each of these passages. Jesus makes it very clear that it is a direct commandment for believers to go out and tell somebody else about Jesus Christ. Now, I can almost hear somebody say, "Now, preacher, this commandment isn't for me because I'm not a preacher. It's not my responsibility because I don't pastor the church. I've not been called to preach. It's not my responsibility to tell someone else about Jesus Christ." Could I beg to differ with you tonight? It is your responsibility to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. The person that believes that this commandment is only given to the preacher thinks this because Jesus was speaking to His disciples in this passage of Scripture. And so they say, well, because He was talking to the disciples and they were the preachers of that age, then the commandment is for preachers to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice something with me, if you will. If you still got your finger in Matthew chapter 28, I want you to look at a couple verses with me. Look at verse number 19. Jesus says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Now, notice the wording of verse number 20. Jesus tells the disciples to teach them. Do you see that in verse 20? Teaching them. There it is. So that brings up a question. Walk through this with me now logically. Who are the them in verse number 20? Would it not make sense that the them in verse 20 are the nations in verse number 19? Go into all the world. Teach all nations. Do you see that in verse 19? Teach all nations. So the them in verse 20 are the nations of verse number 19. They are to go to all the world and teach them. Now what were they to teach them? The Bible says, teach them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. What was the commandment? It was in verse 19. To go to all the world, to go to all the nations and teach them about Jesus Christ. Therefore, I guess what I'm trying to say is this. God gave this commandment to the disciples. It was the disciples' job to go out to all the world and tell them about Jesus Christ. When they got saved, they were to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And then they were to teach them how to go out and do the very same thing that they had just done so that the nations could go out and tell somebody else about Jesus Christ. It is not just my job to tell somebody about the Lord tonight. It is your responsibility just as it is mine. God has called you to tell somebody else about Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 19 says, to wit, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And he says, and he hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as through God, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ did be reconciled to God. Paul, writing to the church, says God has given you the ministry or the word of reconciliation, and he has made you an ambassador for Jesus Christ. If you don't hear anything else I say tonight, hear this. God wants you and expects you to tell someone else about Jesus Christ. And you say, well, I don't know if I can do that, but you know, that probably won't affect my relationship with God too much. What about that Bible verse that says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? Help me out. It's sin, right? To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Therefore, if we know that God has called upon us to tell other people, to tell the world about Jesus Christ, and we choose not to do that, that means that that is sin. It is a sin. It is our responsibility. We are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. The most important thing I could show you tonight is the fact that God wants you to do it. However you do it, whatever works best for you, as the old saying was, just do it. Just do it. I see the proclamation in this passage. But not only do I see the proclamation, I see the problem. Are you still in Matthew 28? Look at verse 17. And when they saw him, they worshipped. Some doubted. Now imagine the scene with me, if you will. The disciples have been called to Galilee in order to have a final meeting with Christ before he returns to heaven. They're standing on top of a mountain in Galilee, and the resurrected Savior is standing right in front of them. There he is in his glorified form. It is the Savior, the man that hung on Calvary 43 days before. There he stands right in front of them. And on top of the mountain, the Bible says that those disciples did two things. One, the Bible says they worshiped. That's a good thing to do in his presence. I'll just throw that in for extra. That's a good thing to do. When you get around God and get around his house, worship. It always works. Amen? You ought to worship. And they worshiped him. But in the midst of their worship, Jesus sensed something inside of them. They probably did not verbalize it with their lips, but it was in their heart and it was in their mind. And just as much as they had worship in their heart, they had doubt inside of their heart. Do you see it? And some doubted, the Bible says. How could these men doubt when the resurrected Christ is standing right in front of them? Some would read this passage of Scripture and they would think that the doubt in verse 17 is a fear on the part of the disciples because Jesus is leaving. They are now going to be on their own. They're going to have to do this on their own. And they say there's fear in their heart because the Lord is leaving. And that may have been part of it, but I don't think that was it. Jesus has already addressed that whole separation anxiety thing in John 14 when he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, many mansions." You know, he said, "I've got to go away, but I'm coming again." You know those passages. He told him in John 16, he said, "I will not leave you comfortless, but if I go away, I'll send the comforter unto you." He's already addressed the separation anxiety. But here they are doubting in verse 17. You know what I think they were doubting in verse 17? I think they were doubting whether anybody would ever really get saved or not. They doubt the same thing that you doubt when God asks you to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. What if they reject me? What if they don't accept me? You got to understand, 43 days prior to this, they took the Lord and put him on a cross. These guys ran and hid in fear for their lives. And they're still a little worried about it. The world's rejected Jesus. They put him on a cross. How can we go out and win somebody? But Jesus, this is what he says. When he senses that doubt inside of them, he said, "Go and teach all nations." You see that commandment? Go teach all nations. He's addressing their fear. He's addressing their fear. Go teach all nations. And then he throws this in, baptizing them. You know what he's saying? He said, I can sense the fear inside of you, the doubt, whether anybody really gets saved or not. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to go tell them. And then when you go tell them, I want you to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. When they get saved is what he's saying. When they get saved, I want you to baptize them after they get saved. You see, the doubt was just as real inside of these men's heart as it is inside of our heart this afternoon. Therefore, Jesus encourages them by telling them that when those converts get saved, they are to baptize them in the name of the Father. If you leave tonight with a determination in your heart to tell somebody about Jesus Christ, can I tell you what will go with you? A little bit of doubt, and a little bit of fear. But Jesus wants you to press through the doubt and press through the fear and do it anyways. Because if you do it anyways, it might be that we get them up there in that baptismal pool and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Amen? I see the proclamation. I see the problem. I see the promise. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. Do you see the promise? Even unto the end of the world. I love the promise in this verse. In fact, I believe there's a dual promise. There's the promise of converts being saved. He mentions it in verse 19 about them being baptized. Proverbs 1:26, verse 6 says, "He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." There's a promise that somebody will get saved along the line. Then there's the promise that if you go out and you tell somebody about Christ, you'll not go alone. You've got to see the proclamation. You've got to see the promise. And you've got to see you got to see the problem before I can get to where I need to get. Do you see it? He says, if you go, you'll not go alone. I'll go with you. If you go out and tell somebody about me, I'll go with you. I want you to do something with me. You still got your Bible open? Now, we all know that commandment. We read it in Acts chapter number 1, verse number 8. You remember that commandment? What did he say? He said, "Go ye into Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth." Is that not what he said? Take your Bible and look at John chapter number 2. Do something with me. Turn to John chapter number 2. John chapter number 2. And look at verse number 23. Look at verse 23. Are you there? And when he was in where? Help me out. Jerusalem. When he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles that he did. Turn over to chapter number 3. Turn over to chapter 3. Look at verse number 22. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of, where's he at? Judea. Do you see it in chapter number 3? Look at chapter number 4. In verse number 4. And he must needs go through, where's he going? Samaria. Watch this now. Chapter 4, verse number 35. Say ye there yet 4 months, then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're white already to harvest. Do you see that? In chapter 2, he's in Jerusalem. In chapter 3, he's in Judea. In chapter 4, he's in Samaria. And then he goes, says, look under the fields. He goes to the entire world. He said, I'm going there too. Jesus is going with you. But not only is he going with you, he's going to go ahead of you if you go in his name. You'll not go anywhere that he doesn't go first. He's preparing the way for you to tell somebody else about Jesus Christ. And what you don't realize is that when Jesus, the Holy Spirit, nudges you to tell somebody about the Lord, it very well could be that he wants you to do it, and he wants you to do it then because he's already worked inside of them and he just needs your witness. And for us to clam up and not say anything could be detrimental, because it could be the Holy Spirit had prepared their heart for our testimony. The promise. Let me show you this. I want you to see the preparation. The preparation. Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. Being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. While Jesus is speaking with his disciples, he not only stresses upon them the necessity to go out and witness, he stresses the importance of being prepared when they go out. The disciples were being told to take the gospel to the entire world, but right now, he's saying, don't leave Jerusalem. Don't leave Jerusalem until you've got that power from the other side. And then when you've got the Holy Ghost power, then you be witnesses. If we're going to win somebody to the Lord, we must be prepared to do so. You said, Brother Josh, how can I be prepared? I've preached all night to get to these few things. I think we should prepare ourselves by praying. Prepare ourselves by praying. When we pray for someone prior to approaching them about Christ, it helps us to be filled with Holy Ghost power. Peter was about to stand up and preach and see 3,000 get saved, but right now, he's not allowed to leave the upper room in Jerusalem. He got some praying to do. Because he's going to pray, and he's going to pray, and he's going to pray, and eventually he'll pray to the point to where that mighty rushing wind comes and fills him with the Holy Ghost. And being full of the Holy Ghost, he can go out and accomplish something for Jesus Christ. But right now he needs to pray. And I want you to go out and just as soon as you can tell somebody about the Lord. But you better go home tonight and pray about it. You see, praying for someone specifically enables you to be filled with the Holy Ghost so that you can do what God asks you to do. But it also prepares them too. It was no coincidence that they were to stay in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit came. And the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. It was no coincidence there was thousands of people in the streets of Jerusalem the day they got filled up and were ready to preach. You know what God did? He not only prepared those boys for preaching, he prepared the people to hear the message. He brought them all to Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. And when they were ready, he sent them down there to preach to them. Praying prepares you for going out and telling somebody about Jesus Christ. But not only should we prepare ourselves with prayer, we must prepare ourselves with the Scriptures. The Scriptures. There are several ways you can do this. I've encouraged you before, and I need to do a much better job of this. But I've encouraged you before to always have a little gospel track on you. You know what a gospel track is? It's a little punch of gospel power. That's what it is. It has the Word of God in it. It tells somebody how to be saved. And we can give this to somebody, and we can tell them about the Lord right then, if the Lord leads us to, or they can go home and read it themselves and might just get saved. Hey, my name's Josh. What's your name? Can I give you something to read a little bit later when you get home? You go through the drive-thru at McDonald's and that lady hands you your bag of food. Sir, can I give you something to read when you take your next break? That waitress comes over to your table when you're at a restaurant. Ma'am, sir, we're about to pray for our food here in just a minute. Is there anything we can help you pray about? Give it to somebody on the street, just a stranger. Take one of these, leave it next to the sink in a restroom. Monday, I come over by the church. I had left something here. I had to come by and get something, and I come by the church Monday afternoon. And I was in the church, and I got what I was needing, and the Lord just impressed me to pray about a few things, and so I stayed here a little bit, and I prayed. And I got finished praying, and as I got finished praying, and I walked out the door, a car pulled up next to my car outside. It was a man and a woman and a young boy, and they got out of the car, and they said, are you the pastor here at this church? I said, I am. How can I help you? And they said, we are on our way to Arkansas, and we are out of gas, and we've got no money to buy gas. Our light is blinking in the car. We're out of gas. And I said, well, I don't have any cash on me, and I didn't. And I said, the church, we don't hand out money. I can't help you that way. They said, we'll follow you if there's a gas station nearby, if you can just help us out. And I said, there's one nearby. There's a Kenjo just right up top of the hill. I said, you get in your car, I'll get in mine. You follow me up there, and I'll take you up there, and I'll buy you some gas. And we drove up the hill to the Kenjo up here. And as I'm driving up the hill, Brother Wally, the Holy Spirit said, give him a track. And I got out of my car, and I went inside, and I bought their gas. And the man's out there starting to pump, and I walk back out there, and I say, sir, can I give you something to read a little bit later? I said, are you a Christian? And he said, I am. I'm a Christian. I said, are you saved? There's a difference. Everybody's Christian nowadays. Are you saved? He said, I'm kind of in between. I'm probably more than I'm not, but I'm kind of in between. I said, sir, there is no in between. I said, it's either saved or lost, heaven or hell. I said, but sir, I've got good news. Jesus loves you, and he died for you. And if you'll allow him, he'll save you. This would be a much more powerful illustration if all three of them and everybody at the gas station got saved that day. That would be awesome. But they didn't. But I told them about the Lord. And just before they pulled off one more time, I said, I just want you to remember that God loves you. Jesus died for you. He loves you. And they drove off with a little bit of gas and a little bit of gospel track. And I don't know if any of the three of them will get saved or not, but I hope they do. I believe the Lord nudged me to pray for a minute before I left so that they could pull out and I could buy their gas and share the gospel with them. Wasn't that difficult? We can prepare ourselves with the Scriptures by a little gospel track. We can prepare ourselves in the Scriptures by marking and highlighting things in our Bible. You may or may not mark in your Bible. I'm marking mine. I highlight in mine. when somebody comes down to the altar and they tell me they need to get saved, depending on how the Holy Spirit leads me, there's usually a few verses of Scripture that I always use. And I've got them highlighted in my Bible because I don't want to have to search for them, and I want them to know which verses I'm talking about. I want to be prepared. I usually start out with Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And I'll read that verse to them and I'll say, "Do you understand that you're a sinner?" Because if we don't understand we're sinners, we cannot realize we need a Savior. Do you understand that you're a sinner? And if they say that yes, they believe that they're a sinner, they realize that. I'll usually flip a page or two over to chapter 6, verse 23, and I've got it highlighted. "For the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And I'll explain to them that because of that sin, they're going to die. They're going to die without God, and they are going to go to hell. And then I'll usually say something like this. Good news, the verse doesn't end that way. It says that God has given you a gift, and that gift is eternal life. It's on the same other side of the page of my Bible. I'll then show them chapter 5, verse 8. "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And I'll say, God loves you, and God died for you, and he wants to save you. Do you believe that Jesus died for you? And if they respond yes, I'll flip one more time. And I'm going to chapter 10 now. And depending on how the Lord leads me, it's either verse 9 or verse 13 or both. "Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved." Verse 9. Verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And then I'll ask them, "Do you believe Jesus died on the cross for you? Do you want to be saved?" And if they tell me they want to be saved, then I will then instruct them to pray in their own words and tell God that they're a sinner and that they believe he died for them and that they want to be saved. I'll pray with them, but I'll let them pray their own prayer. Deal with God however they need to deal with God. It's not so much what you say, by the way. "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness." With the mouth confession is made. That heart is doing business. There's some debate on this, but they may get saved when they get up out of the pew back there. I'm not real sure. But I want to be prepared, so I'll mark some things in my Bible. But I want to be prepared, so I'll mark some scriptures, not in my Bible, but I'll mark them in my heart. I'll mark them in my mind. The psalmist said he would hide God's words in his heart. You remember that? See, the reality is that you may not always have a Bible on your person or in your pocket, but you can always carry it in your heart. I read something this week, and this is so true. This says what I'm trying to say so well. Someone once said, "God can only bring to your mind the things that are already there." Those Bible verses that I just mentioned to you, I was able to give them to you without reading my Bible. You ought to mark them in your heart. There's others you can use. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. "For as it appointed unto men once to die, after this the judgment." You might use Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, where the Lord said, "I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." You might use Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You may use John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You might use 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." But message. You need to be prepared. Let me say this about preparation, and I'll wrap this all up, put a bow on it, and we'll be done. I want you to be prepared not only with prayer, with the scriptures, but I want you to be prepared in your method. If you're a little worried about telling somebody about the Lord, why don't you practice? You tell me, now you tell me, y'all don't tell my wife I'm going up and down the I was told this week that if I go up and down steps or inclines, I'm supposed to use a cane. I'm not quite there yet. So y'all don't tell her, she ain't here tonight. What would be wrong with practicing telling somebody about the Lord? Husbands and wives, just practice at home. You say, oh, that's silly. You want to be a good basketball player? Baby, you better get out there and shoot some free throws. They say Larry Bird, one of the greatest free throw shooters in the history of the NBA, would show up before practice, before anybody else got there, and would just shoot free throws for hours. And everybody would leave, and Larry Bird would stay on the free throw line shooting free throws. He didn't sink those shots during the game because he got lucky. He practiced it. Parents and children can practice it. Practice it with your friends. Practice it with somebody at church. Just walk through it. Just walk through it. You tell somebody how to get saved. Practice it at home. And then you go to work and practice it on somebody there. Yes, sir. Yep. It works. I remember when I was a kid, 14, 15 years old, they let me, for the first time, they were brave folk at Bays Mountain, they let me at Youth Sunday teach the adult Bible school class. And I had my notes, and I had my verses, and I had my highlight. And I stood in my bedroom. I had a, wasn't a bunk bed, it was a tall bed and had dressers underneath it. And I'd turn my bed into a pulpit. And I'd take my Bible and I'd take my notes and I'd sit them on the bed and I would stand there and I would teach that lesson. I was wearing it out too. I was calling people's names in the congregation. And every time I'd teach, I'd stand there and I'd practice every night before I got up and did it. There's been a time or two as an adult that I've sit my wife down and I've said, honey, I'm gonna give something to the church tomorrow. Would you just sit there for a minute and listen? And I'd stand there in the kitchen, she'd sit in the living room, and these girls can tell you, they've heard me do it. Ain't nothing wrong with practice. Y'all turn the TV off one night and practice. I see the preparation. Let me show you this. I'm done. I'm out of here. I want you to see the power. Jesus talking to Nicodemus in John chapter number 3. He makes an interesting statement. Verse number 8. He said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. He's not talking about wind there. He's talking about the Spirit of God. And he's saying sometimes you can't understand the way the Spirit moves and the way the Spirit works. I want to point out last of all that you cannot force anyone to get saved. It is your responsibility to share the gospel with those that you meet, but it is not your job to save them. Only the Spirit of God can save someone. You share the gospel with them and you leave the saving up to the Lord. And I also want you to realize that there may be times that somebody does not respond to you the way that you thought they would or hoped that they would. But that does not mean that you failed. That does not mean that God was not with you, and that does not mean that they won't get saved. Writing to the Corinthians, Paul said in chapter 3, verse 6, he said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Do you understand what he said in that verse? He said, I came into some of your lives and I planted a seed. But that seed did not grow up when Paul was there. And another man came by named Apollos, and he watered that seed. God eventually gave the increase. You may tomorrow feel like the Holy Spirit tells you to tell someone how to get saved. And you witness to them, you ask them if they're saved, you give them a tract, you do whatever you need to do. And you ask them, do you want to get saved? And they may look at you and say, no, not right now. But that does not mean that you failed. It does not mean that you misread God either. It could be that you planted a little seed inside of their life. God needed you to do that at that time. And maybe God will let you come back and water that seed later, but maybe you won't. Maybe He'll let somebody else come by and put some water on that seed that you never see. Maybe somebody's already planted the seed and you're just watering it. And sometime down the line, God gives the increase and that person gets saved. I don't know. I don't know. Those folks, if they were headed to Arkansas, they're probably there by now. I'll probably never see them again in my life. But I hope one day I'm in heaven and a man and a woman and a young boy come up, shake my hand and say, Preacher, you remember that time we needed gas and you gave us the gospel? We got back to Arkansas and got to thinking about what you're saying and went to a Baptist church and got saved. I don't know if it'll happen. I don't know. I don't know. But I know I did what God told me to do. And it is your responsibility to do what God tells you to do. I love you tonight, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity that we have to be here. Thank you for the opportunity we've had to preach to these folks. And Lord, as I've studied and I've prepared this week, there's been a realization in my heart that I need to do so much more. I need to do so much better. And I pray you forgive me where I failed you and help me to do more. If you're here tonight, you need to pray. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You're welcome to come. Maybe you want to come tonight and say, God, I want you to forgive me where I failed you. God, I want you to give me the determination. God, I'm going to go out and I'm going to tell somebody about you. And I want you to go with me. Maybe there's somebody on your heart that you've been praying for and you want to come pray for tonight, because you're going to make the determination that the next opportunity you get, you're going to tell them about Jesus Christ. Why don't you come down here and pray? You ought to come. These altars ought to be full of men and women saying, God, make me a soul winner. God, help me to be the one that shares the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to get in this altar myself and I'm going to pray. If you're here tonight and you want to pray, you can join us.